Name something that gets passed around.
A joint.
A joint.
Now, streaming live on the Marijuana Agenda.
Oh, really? What are you people? On dope?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio.
Hey, this is great, man.
The voice of the marijuana nation.
Marijuana is listed as a Schedule I drug. That is absurd.
Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ. That's 650-534-2565.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Hey, man. Am I driving okay?
Toker Talk Radio is your chance to make your voice heard in the marijuana nation.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
Send that message with clarity that good people don't smoke marijuana.
Now let's get to Toking and Talking with your host, Russ Belville.
Oh, welcome, 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 everybody. It's time for Toker Talk Radio Hour 2. If you're watching this live and you're thinking, hey, how do I get this as a podcast? Just go to mjagenda.com and click the Become a Patron button. For just $4.20 a month, you get access to a secret podcast link just for you. And you can listen to this hour, too, where we let loose the tie, let down what's left of my hair. Not much. Yeah, man. It's just, man, just a, kind of a sad week here because we've known of the impending passing of Bobby Platshorn's wife, Lynn. What a nice lady. Last time I was down there in Florida visiting Bobby at his place in West Palm, me and Bobby were doing a morning thing, and Lynn got us a nice coffee and made a nice little breakfast. We all sat at the little table and had breakfast together. Really, really nice memory. And she was hurting even then. You could tell she was just really frail even then, but still so happy. You know, they were so happy to be together. And it's chilling listening to that interview with Bobby in hour one, where he talks about, you know, people asked if he had anything regrets or he harbor any resentments about being imprisoned for almost 3 decades. And he said no. And I just, wow, how a man gets past that, how a man gets through that is just remarkable to me. I can't even imagine being in jail for 23 days, 29 days, much less 29 years. But Bobby's in as good a spirits as can be expected. I've got him a couple messages from him, and he says he's time to go back on the road and make a living. A lot of people don't know Bobby's a retired pitchman. He was one of the, like, Popeil, you know, Ginsu knife type of pitchmen in the 60s, man. So 70s. So anyway, our hearts go out to Bobby and all his friends and family. Coming up in this hour, we're going to have some more discussion of this, the idea of civil rights in this country and our right to do with our brains and bodies what we damn well choose. I've said this numerous times on the show that I think it's a Ninth Amendment thing. The Ninth Amendment states that the enumeration in this Constitution of certain rights is not intended to deny or disparage others retained by the people. You read the writings of Madison and Jefferson and these guys, and they were afraid that if they wrote a Bill of Rights, they wrote all these civil liberties down, the government would eventually say, aha, well, that's all you get. There's your rights. That's it. It's the Bill of Rights. There they are. You have no more. They would say, well, hold on. Just because they didn't write all of them down doesn't mean you don't have them all. I mean, you couldn't write all of your rights down. That'd take forever. Every single nitpicky thing that you're allowed to do, right? The idea of the Ninth Amendment is that, and the idea of the Constitution in general, and the idea of free societies in the macro here, is that things are permitted until they're proven harmful to the society. Not that things are prohibited until they're proven safe. That's the totalitarian mindset. Talk about that. Plus, my ideas on fixing American democracy that are impossible, but they'd work. And more from Bobby Platshorn pushing for the Florida Medical Marijuana Amendment. You're listening to Toker Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville. The Marijuana Agenda free podcast is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, SoundCloud, and on our Facebook page at MJ Agenda. Free video archives are available at the Radical Rust channel on YouTube. Help keep this media free by making a donation at paypal.me/radicalrus. The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Law enforcement is a part of the answer. It's part of creating a climate of hostility to drug use in America.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
Hi, my name is Ricky Williams.
My name is Evan Britton.
My name is Marcus Stelly.
My name is Boo Williams.
My name is Jim McMahon.
My name is Chris Cluey.
My name is Kyle Turley. I played in one of the major North American football leagues.
I have two championship rings from that big game we play at the end of the season.
In college, I won a trophy that looks like this.
I was a punter for 8 seasons, and punters are football players too.
I also wrote the name of the commissioner on my headband, and everyone lost their shit.
The men who play American football are subject to a life of injury,
pain,
and disease,
both during and long after their careers are over.
And that's why I smoke pot.
That's why I smoke cannabis.
That's why I smoke weed. That's why I smoked weed when I played.
It has, without a doubt, reduced the amount of pain I live with.
It's my body. I know.
But for some reason, the major North American non-Canadian football league refuses to allow players to use cannabis.
Instead of allowing for safe, natural healing, the sport pushes players towards addictive, narcotic painkillers with serious side effects.
So let's get real, Roger.
Football players should be allowed to use medicinal marijuana.
Without the stigma of it being a banned substance.
Cannabis isn't a drug.
It is a medicine.
Looking for the 420 friendliest way to visit beautiful legal potland, Oregon?
I'm Lori Duckworth, inviting you to come stay with us at Delta 9 House and Studios.
You get your own private room with queen bed and access to our high-speed Wi-Fi, premium entertainment system, and more.
We'll even cook you breakfast. Look us up on Facebook at Delta 9 House.
That's facebook.com/Delta9House.
Delta 9 House is booked through Airbnb.com, City of Portland, permit number 17-159855.
Sienna, jag heter David, PKA Dirtball. Vi ska röka hela tiden, alla år.
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, welcome back, everybody, and it's 8 after the hour. I mentioned how this show, while it is Toker Talk Radio, while it is the Marijuana Agenda, and our primary focus is marijuana, it is going to be a show, especially in this second half hour, that starts to take a look at the politics side of the equation. Because we can advocate for marijuana all we like, but unless we understand the political mechanisms by which we can legalize it, all the wishing in the world isn't going to change a thing. Fortunately, we've done some great work out here in the initiative states on the West Coast, but we've got states now to legalize that don't have initiative power, and we're going to have to find ways to fix them as well. And it goes beyond just the fight for marijuana legalization. It has to do with a lot of issues. Like, you know, you look at the marijuana legalization issue, and it's a 60% support, 64% in the Gallup poll. Look at medical, it's over 90, right? But nothing happens on the federal level, or it happens really slowly on the federal level to address this. You know, the people want it. The government doesn't budge. I mean, we see this writ large when it comes to universal background checks for guns. 97% of the people want that. Congress isn't moving on it, right? So what do we do to fix this democracy? Because I think it's broken. I think there's some problems with the way we're doing business here. The government should at least sometimes at least appear to respond to the will of the people. There ought to be some hope here. Unfortunately, I think what we're hamstrung by here are some systemic problems. It's the old saying, don't hate the players, hate the game. There's some problems with the game. The way our game functions now is a stacked deck. It's rigged. It's controlled by the oligarchy, and it's run by two parties. How can we fix that? Because that would be a major, major fix. not just for the marijuana movement, but for lots and lots of issues, if we could somehow get more voices at the table. Now, trying to do this by way of constitutional amendment will be tough, because you've got to convince two-thirds of state legislatures to form a constitutional convention. If the states want to propose a law, two-thirds of them, that's 34, 34 of the states got to agree to propose a law or propose a constitutional convention. And that's never happened. All the amendments we've passed in the Constitution have come by way of Congress ratifying the amendments before sending it to the states. The states themselves have never called for a constitutional convention. I think we ought to get 34 states. I think we could find 34 states that would say, you know what, we need to fix up the Constitution. Now, the scare of that is, oh my God, once you open up a constitutional convention, holy shit, every special interest jumps in and tries to get their way in the Constitution. Good. Let's finally settle it. Let's settle some of these issues that we've been spending money over and bickering over for hundreds of years. Let's settle some. When it comes to the Congress proposing an amendment, you got to get two-thirds of Congress to do that. So two-thirds of the House and two-thirds of the Senate have to vote on a particular amendment. Well, any amendment that's going to change the two-party system is not likely to get two-thirds vote in the House and Senate. So I don't know how we're going to get this changed, but we've got to get this changed. And even once we get the change we want, if it gets through a congressional ratification or through the states proposing a convention, then to ratify the damn thing, you got to get 38 states to ratify. You got to get 3/4 of the states to agree to it. But let's just pretend. Let's just pretend that everything we've gone through with Trump and everything we've gone through up to this point has frustrated the American people so greatly that they'd be ready to mobilize. We get 34 states to propose a constitutional convention, and we get 38 of them to agree to some of these provisions that I'm going to lay out. Let's just pretend that's possible. So step one, I think the step number one to fixing American democracy is giving people the right to vote for everyone. Now, it may shock you, but did you know that you don't have a federal right to vote? It's true. The Constitution does not actually define a federal right to vote for president. It's the states that get to determine how the electors are chosen for the Electoral College, who then vote for the president. And the states don't have to give you that right to vote for the electors. In fact, in the old days, state legislatures used to just pick the electors, right? In fact, the 2000 Bush v. Gore lawsuit, you remember that one, Bush v. Gore? Justice Scalia wrote for the majority that, quote, "The individual citizen has no federal constitutional right to vote for electors for the president of the United States," end quote. Well, let's stop that. Let's institute an amendment that says we have a federal right to vote, that the right to vote shall not be abridged. Let's give it some Second Amendment heft there. Shall not be infringed. This way, if you had an amendment that defined a right to vote, that would be a linchpin in any case you go for on the gerrymandered districts, on voter suppression, on voter ID laws. All these things that are used to suppress the vote could be attacked if you had a defined federal right to vote. I was shocked in learning that we don't actually have it. And then when it comes to your right to vote, let's define what a vote is. That's another thing that's not defined in our Constitution, what your vote is. It does say one man, one vote. In so many words. It does say that you can't vote multiple times for the same person. But why can't you vote once for everybody? This is where the third parties really need to listen. If you're into third parties, if all the Republicans and the Democrats are two sides of the same coin, oh, it's the duopoly, oh, it's the oligarchy, oh, third parties never get a fair shake. Well, if you're one of those, listen closely. Because the right to vote, as we are voting now, the way the system is rigged right now, is called first past the post. And what it means is you get all the horses in a race. Whichever horse is first past the post wins. That means whichever horse gets the most votes compared to the other horses wins the race. It doesn't mean that a horse will necessarily have to get the majority of the votes to win the race. And as we know from the election of Bill Clinton, who got a 42% plurality, and the election of George W. Bush, or the C-election of George W. Bush, who also got a plurality of the vote, did not achieve a majority. And as we know from both of those cases, sometimes the person who wins isn't the person that most people would have been satisfied with. Like in 92, if you were a George H.W. Bush voter, or you were a Ross Perot voter, you probably would have been happy with either of those two guys, but not Bill Clinton. Likewise, in 2000, if you were an Al Gore voter or you were a Ralph Nader voter, you would have probably been happier with either of those two guys than George W. Bush. It's called the spoiler effect. We know all about this, the spoiler effect, where multiple candidates on one side split the vote and let the lousy candidate on the other side win, depending on how you define lousy. If we stick with this first-past-the-post voting, we will always have a duopoly in control. It's just the way the game theory works. It's math, people. It's math. It just always will work that. I mean, now it's going to be the Democrats and the Republicans. 1,000 years from now, it might be the Yangs and the Combs, but it will always be two of them. I mean, think about how our voting system lets us only pick one candidate for an office. Why? Let's say, like, there's five people running for office, and I think that one of them would be great, another one of them would be pretty good, and then the other three would suck. Why should I have to be forced to choose between very good and pretty good? Why couldn't I vote for both of those candidates, saying, yeah, either of these two will do, but not the other three? Why can't my full range of choices be considered? Well, these can be considered in a system that's called ranked choice voting. What it does is it allows you to pick as many of the candidates as you like. If there's five of them running, you can vote for number one, number two, number three, and number four. And you assign them in order. I like number one the best, but number two would be pretty good. Number three is okay. Number four sucks. Number five is awful. But whatever order, you arrange them, you rank them, right? Now, sounds complex, because what happens is, in ranked choice, we get all five of those candidates they run. We tally up their first place votes. Did someone get a majority? Well, they're the winner. But most likely, someone's not going to get a majority. It's a plurality, right? So what you do with those five is you take the last place person and you take their number two votes. You kick them out of the race. Thanks for running, but you're no longer qualified. But who did people want number two that voted for you? And you take those number two votes and you assign them to the other four candidates. So now these other four candidates are
in the cannabis industry. Consumer.
Sorry about that. Having a timing problem. So now those other four candidates get the second place votes, and we count the votes again. Did someone get a majority? They're the winner. Did they not? Well, we go to the number four person. They're kicked out of the race. We take their second and third place votes, aside from the ones that are for the guy who's already kicked out, and we throw them to the other three. And eventually you come up with a mix where someone's eventually going to get a majority of the vote. And what this does, and it's math again, folks, it's all math. This is game theory. It proves that the people get the most agreeable candidate to the most of them. Now, I've written this up on my RadicalRust.com blog. If you go to RadicalRust.com, look for the posts on fixing American democracy. I've given an example. If an election was between George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Richard Nixon, George W. Bush, and Donald Trump, in a first-past-the-post system, if you voted for Washington or Lincoln, and you thought either one of them would be fine, you're probably not going to get what you want. You're probably going to get a Trump. But in a ranked choice system, you could vote for Washington first, Lincoln second, or Lincoln first, Washington second. And the chances you're going to get either Lincoln or Washington could be much greater if other people agreed with you that way. I've written it all up on the Radical Rust page. Check it out.
Hey, this is great, man.
All right, that sound means it's 4:20 here in the Pacific time zone. Time for us to take our union-mandated safety briefing. When we return, a flashback with Robert Platshorn from 2016, just 6 weeks before Florida passed its medical marijuana amendment. You're listening to Toker Talk Radio on the Marijuana Agenda, MJAgenda.com.
If you work in the cannabis industry, consume marijuana, or just support freedom, you need to know about breaking policy news that affects you. Marijuana Moment is the daily newsletter that helps you stay on top of all the latest and most important state, federal, and international cannabis developments. Brought to you by longtime legalization activist Tom Angel, Marijuana Moment puts a concise yet comprehensive overview of cannabis news in your inbox early every weekday morning. Wake up to Marijuana Moment and rest assured you'll be ready for the cannabis news that's driving the day. Subscribe now at marijuanamoment.net.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
And let me be clear about marijuana. It is a potentially dangerous gateway drug that frequently leads to the use of harder drugs.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana. The Marijuana Agenda is a listener-supported independent podcast brought to you by Radical Russ Media, LLC. Subscribe to our VIP feed at MJAgenda.com for access to our ad-free podcast segment archive. Make a one-time donation to support the Marijuana Agenda at paypal.me/radicalruss. Now, in the interest of fair and balanced journalism, the Marijuana Agenda presents this anti-drug public service announcement.
What's bugging you, Murphy?
Drugs. Drugs bug me.
Hi. That was Nancy Allen and me. I'm Peter Weller, the guy behind that mask. If you're a kid, please listen for a second. How do you keep away from drugs? They're everywhere, sometimes even at home. But there is one place you can go that is 100% drug-free. No pot, no pills, no crack, no smack, no coke, no exceptions. The Boys and Girls Club. It beats the streets. No kidding.
This has been an actual anti-drug public service announcement. To combat this and other drug war hysteria, listen to the Marijuana Agenda every weekday at 3 p.m. Pacific at live.mjagenda.com or download the free podcast at mjagenda.com.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Young people, many of them that get into heroin, methamphetamines, and a lot of other things, begin not only with marijuana but by addiction.
Whatever you're smoking, it's not marijuana.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belville from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
I have a package here for Radical Rick. Is there a Radical Rick here? How about a Rick Russ? Any Rick Russ? Somebody named Freddie Barak has sent him a package? Anybody? What is that? Sounds like a skunk. It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
We're continuing our remembrance of Lynn Platshorn today, the wife of Bobby Tuna, Robert Platshorn, pictured on screen. Here's my discussion with Bobby about the Florida Medical Marijuana Amendment from September of 2016.
Welcome back, everybody. It's 32 after the hour, and we are continuing
our preview of the various initiatives that are taking place all across the country. Today, we make our way down to the great sunshine state of Florida and visit with an old friend of the show. We got Robert Platshorn on the line, Bobby Tuna himself. Robert, welcome back to the show.
Man, I haven't seen you in way too long. How you doing, Ross?
I'm doing fantastic, and I'm hoping you are doing well as well. We are really excited about Florida's medical marijuana amendment. The latest polls that we've seen have shown overwhelming support among every demographic. Give us your take on what's happening down there as far as, you know, 8 weeks before the election and how people are reacting.
Well, we're all confident that it's going to pass. Of course, we were confident in 2014 when we were polling at about 67-68% at this point. And then, of course, Adelson's $5 million came in, and we were blitzed on television with Reefer Madness, and we lost. We're not likely to lose this time. It's a presidential election. We'll have a much better turnout. In midterm elections, the only people who turn out are seniors and Latinos because they value their vote. I'm still a little worried. So far, very little positive advertising has popped up anywhere. And Adelson again says he's putting in $5 million. We have the woman whose family founded Publix. She put in close to $1,800,000. And there's other money coming in on the negative side. So it's still a little worrying. And when I met with Ben Pallara, who runs Morgan's campaign.
Yeah.
And Morgan put up a lot of money to get it on the ballot in 2014. And then spent no money trying to counter the no on two. It could have been passed last time had our side been visible, and we weren't. So I was really concerned about this time, and I still am, because he put up the money, got it on the ballot again, and then when I met with Ben Pallara about 6 or 7 weeks ago, I said to him, look, I can get a lot of media time really inexpensively because we're a 501c3, a nonprofit, and we buy at educational rates. Morgan's going to have to pay political rates, which are like 4 to 10 times as high for broadcast media, radio and TV. I said, why don't you put part of your budget into the Silver Tour? And I can cover this whole state saturated on radio for about $150,000. That's really not a lot to cover this state, all 14 radio markets. And I got a pretty qualified no, like I did last time when I went to them and asked them to support a campaign that might have gotten us passed last time. But he said, look, Morgan plans to spend a lot of money on television and radio. And he assured me. And then he said something that really kind of made me wonder again. He said, but it may not be necessary.
Hmm.
And that tells me they're going to hold back what they can. So that's worrisome. I hope I'm wrong.
So basically coasting on the fact that the polls are around 70% right now, they think they don't really need to make the effort.
Yeah, the polls are better than that. The polls are around 77%.
Wow.
And that's like maybe 8 or 10 better than last time.
Mm-hmm.
We know we're going to have a much, much bigger voter turnout. You know, last time his attitude was, well, if the word marijuana is in there, the kids are all going to turn up and vote for it.
Huh.
Of course, the kids don't vote in midterm elections. And somebody who's supposed to be politically savvy is supposed to know that.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I learned back in 2010 when we were both begging people to support Prop 19 in California that when it was over and we had lost by 6 points, which was a huge setback, it sent the whole legalization movement back 4, 5, 6 years, maybe more, and it emboldened the opposition. But the reason we lost in California, I looked at the exit polls, and it was the senior vote. Nobody in California really bothered talking to seniors. In fact, they weren't talking to much of anybody because they figured legalization was a natural out there.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't as natural as we thought it was, and that's what inspired me to start the Silver Tour when I saw that nobody was talking to seniors. And, you know, I knew it wouldn't be that hard to get them out of the closet, but yeah, that's my generation.
Well, you've been vindicated on the senior issue as well in the latest federal surveys that show, you know, people over the age of 50 are the fastest growing demographic of cannabis consumers now that we've embarked on some legalization. And, you know, I think, like I said, I think you've been vindicated in that if the seniors have access to cannabis and know what it can do for them, they're going to flock to it.
The difference has been amazing since we put on that first Silver Tour show, and then we got on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, and CNN did a special, and then we were on, you know, Jon Stewart's Daily Show. We've had tremendous, great publicity, and it's made seniors comfortable with the subject where they weren't before. And I knew in the beginning that for the most part, it was a matter of getting them out of the closet, because 5 years ago, seniors would not join the discussion. They just, you know, that doesn't interest us. We're not into pot. And in the beginning, I live in a state that's got hundreds and hundreds of over 55 communities, senior communities. And in the beginning, I couldn't book a free Silver Tour show where I was going to give them a free meal, you know, bring a doctor, bring patients, put on a heck of a show and, the rec room, and couldn't get in. Now they call me and say, oh, you know, our people would love a Silver Tour show. But it's made a big difference. And, of course, we had the TV show on for a year over about half the country, Should Grandma Smoke Pot? Seniors have an entire – I did a show a week ago Sunday at – an over 55 community in Boynton Beach. Nice, big community. This was a men's club. Their monthly breakfast. I had to be there by like 8 o'clock. Anyway, actually, I always start work at about 6, 6:15, and by 8 I go out and play tennis. In any case, 250 men showed up. This is a men's club in a nice private development. 250 men show up, and they couldn't wait to whisper in my ear, oh, I got some great smoke. Or, yeah, never gave it up. Or, hey, you know where I can get some seeds? Oh, I want to grow a few more plants. This never happened 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. Occasionally, someone would come up and give you a little wink, like, yeah, you know, I smoke. But their next-door neighbor wouldn't know. Now, they're smoking with their next-door neighbor.
Yeah.
And you're damn right I'm going to take a lot of credit for that, because nobody else reached out to these people. And it wasn't difficult.
Yeah.
The hardest part was raising a few bucks to get it done, and that's still the hardest part. And it worries me about what's going on with Amendment 2. I wanted to run a really heavy radio campaign for the last 2 months running up to the election, and I couldn't raise anywhere near enough money. Mm. It's like hollering down into an empty hole. Nothing comes back, not even an echo.
It's,
you know, when I did the public's protest.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. How'd that go?
Well, it went really well. The disappointing part was I never raised enough money to cover the cost of the signs and the expenses. But we did 5 stores in South Florida, and we had people in Orlando and Tallahassee and Jacksonville, you know, ask me to send them up signs, and they do it on their own. We have people in Georgia, Mississippi, and North Carolina who also picketed in sympathy. And I'm, you know, I'm a pragmatist. Anything I've done has had a measurable result. So my goal was to reach the people that actually run Publix. You know, the woman who made the donation, her family founded Publix, but she made it on her own. It wasn't on behalf of Publix. But somebody had to reach up to the people at top Publix and let them know that there are millions of people who get their prescriptions in Publix, and they don't appreciate a negative attitude toward medical marijuana. And I wanted them to put out a statement like Walgreens did. Remember a couple of months ago, Walgreens put out just a nice statement acknowledging that it's a real medicine and that it has a lot of promise. And coming from a company like Walgreens, which has always been a big supporter of Drug Free America Foundation, that was a good thing. I thought it was a major, major good move. And when we got to these public stores, in every case, there were like six cop cars there. And the manager was just out, had people out scouting for it. But it wasn't what it looked like. The police did not bother us. If anything, they were a help. They told us, you know, where we could picket and where we couldn't. And they were very reasonable about it. They pointed out shady spots so we could get out of the Florida sun.
That's nice.
And when the managers came out, you knew immediately that they had all been spoken to by the central office, because they all came out and did the same thing. They were nice. They introduced themselves and they said, look, don't let your people walk out in that hot sun for too long. You know, get them into the shade. And if you need any, if they need to hydrate, don't hesitate to call me or send them into the store. I was really proud of the way the whole thing came off.
Well, what?
Everybody got along with everybody. We made a point. It was acknowledged by the home office. I'm still waiting to see if they'll do an announcement like Walgreens. But in the meantime, they made it clear that her policy is not their policy.
Well, that's good news, and it sounds like a successful protest. Robert Platshorn is with The Silver Tour. Check him out at thesilvertour.org and follow him at Bobby Tuna on Twitter. It's all the time we got, Bobby, but I'll call you back again soon, I promise.
I'm here for you anytime, all the time.
All right.
You're my special guy.
Have a great day, my man. Great talking with Bobby Platshorn back then on the eve of medical marijuana passing in Florida. Thoughts and prayers go out to Bobby today as he's mourning the passing of his wife, Lynn Platshorn. Be back right after this.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
New beginner guitars and banjos are often constructed much better than ones built before your time. Why struggle? Get a new instrument or fix the old one. The trusted professionals at the Fingerboard Extension will evaluate your instrument for free. Repairs are priced for people who work for a living. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Where'd you learn that, Cheech?
Drug school.
Learn more at mjagenda.com.
This is Radical Russ Belville with a word about dealing with police.
Whether marijuana is legal in your state, whether you're a medical marijuana patient, or whether you're a cannabis consumer just trying to survive under prohibition, you should always affirmatively assert your rights in a police encounter. This means you don't answer police questions without your attorney present, and you never consent to a search. Police are not your friend. Besides showing your insurance, registration, and driver's license, there are only three things you should be saying and one thing you should be doing. I cannot answer further questions without my attorney present. I do not consent to any searches. Am I under arrest or am I free to go? And then leave once you've been cleared to go. Don't stick around for any little talks the officer wants to have. Learn this lesson well, and unlike me, you won't have a criminal record.
Hey everybody, it's Russ Belvo from the Marijuana Agenda, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
Of us pirates, we go on vacation to North Dakota, you know, because they've got a town called Argusville. What are you smoking there, boy?
It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
Welcome back, everyone. 41 after the hour. We're continuing my discussion of fixing American democracy. I think it's broken. I think when you get over 60, 70, 80% of the American public that's for something and then Congress doesn't pass it, obviously it's broken. And one of the big broken parts of our system is the Electoral College. Everybody's complained about the Electoral College since we had the whole Bush v. Gore and the guy who didn't get the most popular votes ends up winning the election by 500,000. And of course, the most recent election, Trump winning by 3 million votes. He was under, like, he lost the popular vote by 3 million votes. But the Electoral College, this anachronism, is meant to protect the southern states that were less populous. I mean, we already had the 3/5 compromise to give them more representation than they deserved. That we'll discuss that in another rant. But we've also got Electoral College that gives more power to these sparsely populated interior cow states than the urban centers, the states on the coast that contain the majority of the population. If you look at the U.S. Electoral College and you take two states, California and New York. California and New York, between the two of them, have 45 million people. They produce almost 500 million in tax revenue. They provide about 500 million in tax revenue to the government. California, New York, 45 million people, 500 million tax revenue. They get 84 electoral votes between the two of them. 84 electoral votes to determine the president. Meanwhile, you can get to 84 electoral votes by adding together Alabama, Alaska, Idaho, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, New Mexico, North Dakota, South Carolina, South Dakota, Utah, West Virginia, and Wyoming. 16 states compared to the two, California and New York, right? Two states that have 84 electoral votes, 16 interior states that have 84 electoral votes. But in those 16 states, there's only 28 million people compared to the 45 million in New York and California. And they only produce about 200 billion. I've been saying million. I should have been saying billions. But 200 billion in tax revenue. So the two states with 45 million people paying 500 billion in taxes have the same power to pick the president as 16 states with 28 million people only paying 200 billion in taxes. It's like 18 people went to the pizza shop to have pizza. Two people kicked in 50 bucks, but they have as much say in what toppings we're getting as the 16 who kicked in 20 among them. 16 people kicked in $20 total for the pizza. Two people kicked in $50 total for the pizza. But they all get the same say in what toppings will be on the pizza. That ain't right. This electoral college slants the power away from the urban centers, from the population centers, from where the diversity is, from where the universities are, from where the education is, from where the tech and the industry and the innovation is. We give far too much power in our Constitution, our electoral college, to these rural, agricultural, barren, sparse states. So how do we fix it? Well, there's a fix already written. That's right. There's a fix already written. All we have to do is get 38 states to ratify it. And it's called Article the First. So here's where we get to the history lesson part. When the founding fathers put together the original Bill of Rights, you know what we know, the 10 Bill of Rights, you know, in the Constitution, freedom of press, freedom of religion, right to bear arms, unusual, cruel and unusual punishment, all those things, right? The Bill of Rights, 10 of them, right? They originally wrote 12. They actually wrote 12 rights in the Bill of Rights. The ones we know as Amendments 1 through 10 in their list were numbers 3 through 12. And they called them articles. They were new articles to the Constitution. So Article, as they called it, the First through Article the 12th. Now, numbers 3 through 12 all got ratified. They became our Bill of Rights. Article the Second is also in our Constitution. It's the most recent amendment to be ratified. Article the Second was the one that said Congress can't raise its own pay, that any congressional pay raise doesn't kick in until the next Congress. This one had been sitting on a shelf after the founding fathers proposed it, never got ratified by the original colonies, right? The original states never got ratified. So it just been sitting there in the law books, just hanging around of no force, right? Just historical oddity. And back in the 90s, a student at Oklahoma, found it and said, hey, you know, and it was part of this, it was like a thesis, a term paper he did. He said, hey, you know, Congress could still pass this amendment. They could still, you know, just a simple, you know, get the states to ratify it, you know, and 2/3 of the Congress to vote on it and 3/4 of the states to ratify it. And we could end, we could fix that congressional pay issue. And his professor gave him a bad grade. He's like, yeah, whatever. Right. But they followed through on it with his legislators and they all said, well, yeah, this is a good idea. This is right, you know, in the as at the tail end of the 80s when, oh, government bad, government corruption, so much government waste, these congressmen voting for their own pay increases. It became politically popular, and it became our 27th Amendment to the Constitution, Article the Second. Well, Article the First is still out there, too, in the same state as Article the Second was, sitting out there on the shelf just waiting for Congress to pass it and the states to ratify it. So what is this Article of First? Well, Article the First would not only, in my view, fix the Electoral College problem, but it would also fix our House of Representatives a little bit and help us deal with things like gerrymandering and unresponsive and bought-off congressmen. Let me get to that. So what Article the First is... it was a direction by our founding fathers that there should be proportional representation in our House of Representatives with a mathematical formula to determine how many representatives there should be. Now, it was a sliding scale so that as you reached X amount of population in the country, you had to have Y amount of representatives. One per 10,000, one per 20,000, one per 30,000, till it eventually gets to the level, the maximum level, which is that there should be one representative for every 50,000 voters. 1 to 50,000 ratio. Now, if you're doing the math in your head, you're thinking, wait a minute, we got like 300 million people in this country, 320, something like that, and 300 divided by 50,000, and what? That would mean a House of Representatives with 6,400 representatives or so. So like 6,400, where there's currently 435. So that's where a lot of people go, wait a minute now, come on, man. You have a Congress with 6,400 representatives in it. My God, it's like a small basketball stadium. I mean, well, what are they worried about? That there's going to be gridlock? The 6,400 people can't get things done any better than the 435 who are currently not getting anything done? What's the problem? Well, the problem, yeah, the physical problem, trying to get everybody in that bigger room. We don't need to do that anymore. It's the 21st century. We got the cyber, as Donald Trump would call it. The cyber. We've got the cyber. So we can just use the cyber, right? Have these representatives not living in Washington, D.C. Have them only come to D.C. for very important, you know, final votes and stuff. But for the most part, have these representatives live in their districts. And have them do all their voting and caucusing and committee hearings online. Use GoToMeeting, for God's sake. Save some taxpayer dollars on all those flights back and forth from home to your districts. And maybe get some work done. Have the votes online. Now, obviously, we need to secure the cyber. But, you know, aside from that, why couldn't we have a House of Representatives that meets online? And imagine how much more voter participation could affect a House of Representatives that does everything online. Where constituents don't have to fly all the way to D.C. to get a meeting or books a meeting, you know, on the rare occasions when they can get a time off of work and the representatives back in the district. Imagine all these representatives having to have online town hall meetings that people could attend virtually. And with a 1 to 50,000 ratio, folks, right now, the ratio in the average congressional district is 1 to 700,000. There are some states that don't have 700,000 people. So our representatives end up being more like our senators, where they're representing these huge interest base of people, where if you got it down to 50,000, you could have more leftward and more rightward representatives for sure. You'd get more diversity of opinion going on. There'd be less easy to gerrymander because the districts themselves would be smaller and tied to a specific population, a number of population, right? And the ability for big money to buy off our House of Representatives is diluted because there's so many more of these representatives they'd have to buy. You couldn't buy, you know, six or seven, you know, committee chairs and then just a few more votes to back them up. You'd have to buy hundreds of guys and gals to be able to get your will done. So Article the First, if it were ratified, would fix this Electoral College problem, too. Because remember, the Electoral College, how many electors you get is adding your two senators plus however many reps you get. And every state gets at least one rep. Even a Wyoming gets one rep and two senators. So a Wyoming gets three electoral votes. California right now has 55 electoral votes. California has 30 million people. Wyoming has less than 600,000. So the 55 to 3 ratio, 55 California votes to 3 Wyoming votes, the way that works out is that Californians, the ratio of population from Wyoming to California is 66 to 1. There's 66 Californians for every one Wyomingite. If we changed this Article the First and had the 6,400 person Congress, California would end up getting 776 representatives. Wyoming would have 12 representatives. The new ratio of electoral votes would be 778 to 14. California would get the proportional power in our Congress that it deserves for having so many more people and so much more of the economy. Well, that's number two. I've got four other ways to fix American democracy. We might have to save those for next week. Stay tuned. We'll wrap things up when we return.
You're listening to The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
Health Cannabinoid, your ACMPR experts. Consultation services for medical cannabis. Visit healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. That's www.healthcannabinoid.com or call 1-800-906-1383. Health Cannabinoid.
You're listening to the Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville.
You're a neo-maxi-zoom dweeby.
Learn more at mjagenda.com. After 5 years of legal marijuana in Colorado and Washington, both states have shown no increase in teen use of marijuana and decreases in marijuana DUI arrests, while generating tens of thousands of jobs and hundreds of millions in tax revenue. Legalization is no longer theory. It's a proven public policy benefit. Tell your elected officials it's time to end adult marijuana prohibition.
The Marijuana Agenda with Russ Belville is brought to you by Cannabis Kamikaze, a professional licensed producer from Canada producing 3 pounds per light. Follow Cannabis Kamikaze on Twitter at Cannabis Kamikaze. That's at Cannabis, K-A-M-I-K-A-Z. Cannabis Kamikaze.
Pod 2.0. It's not your father's Woodstock weed. It's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation. Call in now at 650-LEGAL-MJ.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Just about 3 minutes left in the hour here at Delta 9 House and Studios, reminding you, if you want to come visit here and see the podcast live and in person, hang out in our beautiful kitchen and dining area, get to meet Oso and Zoe, our dogs, get to meet Whoopi Goldberg and Rihanna and Lady Gaga, Jennifer Aniston, who am I forgetting? Miley Cyrus and Kirsten Stewart, our chickens. Well, you want to book as soon as possible. Go to Delta9House.com and sign up to get your nights at Portland's 420 friendliest Airbnb. And we put the second B back in Airbnb. We actually could. I cook you breakfast. I will cook you hot, fresh breakfast right here at Delta 9 House. Special deal for fans of the show. If you're a fan of the show, don't instant book on Airbnb. Do an inquiry. Do an inquiry and say you're a fan of the show, and I'll get you the super double secret discount rate. I don't know what it is, but whatever the super double discount rate is, you get it for being a listener, a VIP supporter of the Marijuana Agenda. Because this podcast, if you're listening to this as a podcast, then you already know. For $9.99 a month, you get this podcast direct to your podcast player. Plus, you get exclusive downloads of my data analysis and graphic design. Folks, this Monitoring the Future spreadsheet that I'm putting together is awesome. You're just going to love the ease with which you can graph any drug by any age group, compare drugs, compare age groups, put that all out, print it out, put it in your spreadsheets, put it in your PowerPoint presentations. If you are a marijuana activist looking to make presentations and you need to know the accurate facts about drug use among American youth, this is the spreadsheet you'll want to get your hands on. It is going to be fully automated, full color, all sorts of statistics you can't get anywhere else, the organization of which you can't get anywhere else. And you can go get the raw data. And if you want to spend the time typing it in or cutting and pasting it, be my guest. But pay me, I'll do it for you. $9.99 a month, mjagenda.com. Just click the Become a Patron button. And folks, that's all the time we got for today. Thanks for joining us. For more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community, we'll be back next Wednesday and every Wednesday right here at mjagenda.com. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
Follow MJ Agenda on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, YouTube, and follow MJ Agenda Show on Twitter. Learn more at mjagenda.com. You say you're free, you're ready, you're growing.
it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plan it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plan it.